You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is Nightline. Tonight, chilling calls from what sounds like 911 dispatch to police in Uvalde, Texas. New video from the frenzy outside the school. Why the Department of Justice is now reviewing the police response. Plus, targeted and terrorized.
If they come in, they're going to shoot me in the head and rob me blind.
Selling Sunset star Christine Quinn opening up about an attempted burglary at her home in Los Angeles. Part of a disturbing criminal trend in LA. And shattering myths. Legendary Asian American movie stars reflecting on past stereotypes on the silver screen.
In those days, Hollywood didn't trust the Asian Americans to play the leading roles.
Now, passing the torch to a new generation of filmmakers. Thanks for joining us. As families in Uvalde, Texas begin the heart-wrenching process of laying their loved ones to rest, new questions are being raised about the delay in the police response and the changing timeline of the tragic shooting at Robb Elementary School. Here's ABC's Marcus Moore.
Tonight, we are seeing more of those frantic moments outside Robb Elementary in new video obtained by ABC News.
Guy with a rifle.
Police rescuing children after breaking a window, then pulling them out.
Somebody jump out the window.
Oh, the kids. They're getting the kids out.
A camera capturing what sounds like a dispatcher telling officers a student is calling from the classroom.
You have a child on the road. Row 12. Are we able to? Is there anybody inside of the building?
An ABC News analysis of the video shows that was at approximately 12:13.
8 to 9 children.
Again at 12:16, she's called back and said there was 8 to 9 students alive.
And for the first time, you can see where the gunman crashed that truck, just steps from the school, before he jumped the fence and police say unloaded 315 rounds.
I heard over the radio they found an AR-15 and 30 magazines.
For 77 minutes, the shooter terrorized students and staff inside, taking 21 innocent lives. Sources telling ABC News the carnage only ending when federal agents decided to use a custodian's key to breach the door and kill the gunman. Tonight, the Department of Justice launching a review of the police response as families and friends in this shattered community coming together to pay their respects to the victims being laid to rest.
We turn now to a disturbing criminal trend in Los Angeles and the reality TV star who believes she was targeted and feared for her life. Here's ABC's Aushin Singh.
We have 47 cameras on our property, in addition to we have light sensors. I'm from Texas, so I grew up, you know, with security, and I know exactly how to use a gun. So I felt of all the people that it could happen to, there was no way it could be me. There was just no way.
It's a side of Christine Quinn we don't often see. Vulnerable, candid. The real estate agent and Netflix star opening up about an attempted burglary that left her family reeling.
And I said, oh my gosh. If they come in, they're going to shoot me in the head and rob me blind. And my first inclination was to grab my gun, which I always have under my bed, and immediately go into my baby's room with my family. And that's what we did.
Do you think you were targeted?
Absolutely. People were watching my every move. My house was definitely cased.
Under the palm trees, amidst the glamour, a disturbing criminal trend that seems to be on the rise in Los Angeles.
Follow-home robberies.
These follow-home robberies.
These gang-led robberies.
What law enforcement is calling follow-home or follow-off robberies. Thieves targeting individuals leaving designer stores or fancy restaurants, following them to steal valuables, watches, jewelry, even their luxury cars.
In my 34 years in the LAPD, I had never seen this type of criminal behavior.
in such large groups.
The uptick in incidents and some high-profile victims,
a frightening ordeal for this Real Housewives star,
prompting community outcry and garnering national attention.
I hate that I have to second guess, you know, should I be worried right now?
But as law enforcement races to address the problem, some questioning the tactics and the focus, asking whether resources are being unfairly funneled towards the city's wealthiest zip codes. Nationwide, violent crime is on the rise, and Los Angeles is no exception. Robberies are up 18% year-to-date, according to the LAPD. Armed robberies up 44%. And although the majority of that is still in underserved neighborhoods, communities across the county are on edge. Shocking surveillance video of brazen attacks put out by the LAPD searching for leads. This victim chased and pushed to the ground. The suspects, one armed, attacking him, taking his watch and other items authorities say valued at more than $600,000. And in this, a victim exits his Lamborghini and is attacked by two men, one with a handgun, fighting them off until they leave in their vehicles.
Many of these attacks started off violently and without provocation or opportunity by the victims to even comply willingly.
Captain Jonathan Tippett is with the LAPD's Robbery Homicide Division and heads up the newly formed Follow Home Task Force.
Are there any tactics or techniques that make these specific type of robberies unique?
Yes, they're focusing on places where people are willing to walk around with high-end jewelry, and they're watching them as they leave these locations and following them off into a place of vulnerability. We've identified at least 18 different South Los Angeles gangs that have been involved in these types of robberies.
Among the victims, celebrities. BET's Terrence J narrowly escaped a group of armed men who followed him home, then confronted him in an attempted robbery.
Was held at gunpoint while at home with her children.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Dorit Kemsley was home when these men shattered a glass door and made off with so many valuables, they had to drag it out in a sheet. Kemsley later detailing the incident to Extra TV.
And all I could think was, I have to save these babies. I begged them, and I begged for my life, and I begged for their life. And I said, I don't care about any of it.
And more recently, Christine Quinn, her lavish home and opulent lifestyle on full display on social media and in Netflix's Selling Sunset.
Need something bigger, and it doesn't need to be huge, just like 10,000 square feet at least.
But now, she believes it may have made her family a target when would-be thieves thought they were out of town in early March.
And that was the night that I had this eerie feeling. I couldn't sleep, and my husband couldn't sleep. And all of a sudden, you know, we heard what sounded like a bird hitting the window, like chip, 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 chip. So he went to go look at the security cameras, and he goes, oh my gosh, Christine, there's two men with what look like guns standing right outside the window right now, 5 feet from you.
The couple immediately rushed to their baby's bedroom and called the police.
What is going through your head during this time as you're kind of watching in real time someone try to rob your home?
If they enter, they're gonna shoot me. The fact that I grabbed my gun with my touchprint safe and immediately grabbed my family into my baby's room, I don't know how. I don't know how I had the ability to think that quickly, but thank God I did. We had triple paned the glass and they couldn't break it. And the dogs started barking, and that's when we heard them on the audio on the camera saying, oh my God, they're home. Then the police sirens come up the hill and thankfully they ran.
What'll stick with you from that night?
How sophisticated these people are. They knew the layout of our house, exactly where our bedroom was and the closet was. To this day, I'm still taking measures to be safe, to be precautious. I don't wear my rings, I don't wear my jewelry, I don't wear watches when I go out anymore.
The rash of the so-called follow home robberies happening in tandem with the much publicized smash and grab thefts. Over the past year, the city of Beverly Hills has become heavily secured, bristling with more than 2,000 security cameras. There are barriers, bulletproof glass, and constant patrols by Beverly Hills police and even private security firms. But in downtown Los Angeles, community activist Hamid Khan says more surveillance and more policing isn't the answer.
When you hear that the LAPD has actually formed a task force specifically dedicated to tracking these follow-home robberies, how do you react?
By just, there's more monies, there's more resources going to the LAPD. These are the only responses that we will come up with. More task forces, more criminalization of the community, more draconian laws, more massive surveillance. The same amount of money could be spent in youth programs. The same amount of money could be spent on just relocating people and giving them permanent housing.
And while he says he feels empathy for the victims of follow home robberies and notes these crimes should never happen, he worries it's getting outsized attention.
There's a very intentional effort to blow it out of proportion.
Well, Hamid, when you hear the numbers, right? Armed robberies are up 44%.
Right.
Is that a cause for concern for you?
That is a cause for concern. I think what is our response is more important than that. And our response seems to be, or it happens to be, or it's a regular practice in the city where it's a constant investment in policing our way out of problems.
For Christine Quinn, sharing her story has become part of her healing.
I wanted to make people aware this can happen to anyone at any time, no matter, you know, if you have 47 security cameras or none at all.
Our thanks to Ashin. Up next, Asian American actors who've lived through an era of racist Hollywood stereotypes. Now, a candid reckoning.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
For generations, Asian American actors say they've been forced into roles that perpetuate racist tropes. ABC's Eva Pilgrim going behind the scenes now for a candid Hollywood reckoning.
Hey, anybody home?
It's almost 70 years since I've been here. I came here, young fellow, bright eye, and hoping to do something in Hollywood.
You may not necessarily know his name, but you certainly know his face from iconic films like Chinatown, Blade Runner, Big Trouble in Little China, and his voice is Mr. Ping in Kung Fu Panda.
Get out! Go, go, go!
But when James Hong first hit Hollywood in the early 50s, he found few meaningful roles available to an Asian actor. In the 1953 flick Blood Alley, he played a Chinese soldier.
Well, I gotta tell you, in those days, Hollywood didn't trust the Asian Americans to play the leading roles.
A lot of times the men are emasculated. We can think of Breakfast at Tiffany's, right? With Mickey Rooney's Mr. Yoniyoshi. Speaks with an accent, his buck teeth.
Mr. Gold Ivory, I wrote this!
The leading roles, men and women, were played by white actors, you know. And my acting with J. Carroll Nash playing Charlie Chan. Every morning he had to put those eyepieces on and slant his eye a little talk, and he'd talk kind of funny like this.
Hunch, not important. Motive, clue. Things that count.
For women, there's the dragon lady, as well as the docile lotus flower, and all the women are hypersexualized. All those kind of stereotypes then become their perception of what an Asian is like.
These crude stereotypes persisted into the 80s and well beyond. In the 1986 movie Short Circuit, actor Fisher Stevens plays a South Asian engineer complete with brown face and an accent.
Girlie, come quick, girlie, danger. Come on, you.
Stevens later said he regretted playing the role.
What's happening, hot stuff?
But perhaps the single most infamous and offensive role in the 80s depicting an Asian was the character of Long Duk Dong in the John Hughes teen comedy 16 Candles.
Oh, sexy girlfriend! Banzai!
The controversial role was played by theater actor Getty Watanabe, whose mother was interned in a camp in Utah during World War II.
I knew Long Duk Dong was stereotypical, but I really just wanted to work, you know, just as an actor.
You need to feed yourself.
Yeah, exactly. What I didn't perceive is how it would affect people, you know, after it came out. I get people coming up to me and getting angry at me.
Did it feel like people were blaming you for it?
At first it did, but I think that the role had to happen in order to catapult people into figuring out, what is this? What do we do about it?
In 2002, my agent sent the audition for Austin Powers and Goldmember. Being young and ambitious, I was like, this is great. I have to do this.
Your name is?
Fukumi.
Don't behave, baby.
This role gets held up as an example of the fetishization of Asian women and the hypersexualization. That sucks. And, you know, but I take responsibility. That was me. I took that role. And, you know, I think processing it is, it's tough.
This is my twin sister. Her name, fuck you.
To play the role of her twin sister, Mazzotto recruited fellow dancer, Carrie Ananaba, now a judge on Dancing with the Stars.
I thought it was really a funny role. I hate that somebody could be offended. When I hear the commentary that's out there, it scares me because I think comedy is important to have. I think we must be able to laugh at ourselves.
Do you feel the pressure of representation? You know, there's not room for lots of us. So when you're the one, does that carry extra weight?
I always feel the pressure of representation. And every time I'm there, I try to show people me and all the complexity of who I am and that I'm not a stereotype.
I think it's hard for me to reckon with the responsibility of being a part of a representation that created harm. But that character went through so many layers. The director, the writer, the studio head, everyone said, oh, that is okay.
Mike Myers and New Line Studios didn't respond when we asked whether they regretted the portrayals of the twin sisters. Now it seems as if the floodgates have opened for Asian American films. The Academy Award nominee Immigrant Story, Minari, the Marvel superhero blockbuster, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and now a new movie with a lot of buzz, Everything Everywhere All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh and co-directed by Daniel Kwan. In the cast of Kwan's new movie, a very familiar face playing the father of Michelle Yeoh's character.
I'm so happy that I was part of that, you know, to get out there in the society and just make it happen.
Talk about someone who has paved the way. He has been working in this industry in an environment that did not want him for many years, and yet he's survived and he's thrived and he's come out on the other end.
You make us all so very, very proud.
For James Hong, it took a lifetime to be rewarded for showing off his full potential. Earlier this month, the 93-year-old actor finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Having that star, it's a great recognition of my so-called talent, heritage, and what I am. My advice to all the young people out there is to keep your head above the water, and if you have the talent, you'll make it, for sure.
And you can watch our full ABC News special, Together as One, celebrating Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander heritage, a soul of a nation, hosted by George Takei on Hulu. Our thanks to Eva. Finally, tonight on this Memorial Day, the moving images, people across the country honoring those we've lost in the line of duty.
Today we remember and we reaffirm freedom is worth the sacrifice. Memorial Day is always a day where pain and pride are mixed together.
And may we express our gratitude to all of the military families across the country. Thanks for your courage and your sacrifice. That's Nightline. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.